Now let's talk about some fictional heroes. A new graphic novel takes us back into early 20th century Jekyll Island history. Back then, the tiny Georgia island was a hotspot for some of the most powerful and wealthy people in the country, like William Rockefeller, Joseph Pulitzer, and Henry Ford. It's called the Jekyll Island Chronicles, and it blends historical fact with some alternate history, all with the help of students from the Savannah College of Art and Design, known as SCAD. Joining me is Ed Kroll. He's the co-author of the Jekyll Island Chronicles, recently came back from San Diego's Comic-Con, and very recently, right, Ed?
Very recently indeed. Good morning.
Good morning. Did you land at 3 a.m. or something, I heard?
Finally got back to the house about that time, but that's all right. It's great to be up and talking with you.
Well, I'm glad that you're conscious. Also with us is Moses Nestor. He's a recent graduate from the Savannah College of Art and Design and illustrated the series. Hi, Moses.
Hi, how's it going?
You didn't go to San Diego Comic-Con?
Oh, I did. I just came back a little bit earlier than Ed did.
Oh, okay. So you've had a little bit more rest.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ed, let's start with you because we start with the story. Do we not? Why? I mean, I don't want to give any spoilers. So let me try to give a broad stroke description if I can, and you can correct me. Basically, some of the main characters are some of the most powerful people of that period, which is the age in between World War I and World War II. So we see Nikola Tesla, we see Rockefeller, we see President Woodrow Wilson, and a new threat, almost a terrorist threat in many ways, arises, one that is not historical. How did you separate what was real from where you started to use your imagination?
Well, actually, you got it pretty close to exactly right. The only difference is we didn't separate, we blended. That is, we took some of the reality of that situation, the reality of that era, because we knew we wanted to do a period piece in that era, and blended it with our fiction to make the story that we've got. The part of the beauty of it is so much of it is historical. There actually were anarchists and terrorists running around in that era doing some of the things we describe in the book, and it just fit beautifully with the plot of the story.
And Moses, let me ask you the same question, but from an art standpoint, to what extent did you use real photos of these people, and to what extent did you imagine something that went more in line with their fictional persona?
So for all of the historical figures, the characters themselves, we used lots of photo reference to make sure that we nailed the look of the characters. Some of the technology that I portray does actually come from that period, but a lot of the tech I created it. I designed it based on like certain design motifs and technology that was available at the time. So it's mostly the tech that's the fantastical part.
It's almost as though you blended real pictures of what we know of Edison and Tesla's laboratory with a steampunk.
Oh yeah, I love sticking little fun steampunk and dieselpunk looking contraptions into the background of these shots. But yes, most of the locations, including like the lightning factory, were real locations, and that I used reference photos for. The authors were very helpful in that. They sent me tons and tons of material to look through to really nail the look of these places.
So, Ed, you had this little slice in history, and I feel like it was almost necessary that you did it at this time because by the time World War II came around, Jekyll Island was evacuated, and so you had sort of this window in which you could have put this story. What did the time period, how did it influence the way your story was crafted?
Well, there were a couple of reasons we went with that time period. One was it was a great time of change. It's one of the sad facts of life that wars exist, but when they exist, they push technology. They make major changes in society, and World War I was no exception. It was a huge, global event, and it changed things dramatically. And it gave us a tension to work with between the sort of Edwardian era, if you would, the Downton Abbey look and feel, and the gritty technology, the machine age that was coming into play or was really in full force then. It gave us a great setting for that plot. So it was the right place to do it. It also gave us that ability to do sort of the steampunk and use those historical characters because by the time World War II rolls around, a lot of them are off the stage.
So there's also another question, Ed, which is the balance between portraying these characters in their in all of the blemishes of real life and portraying them more as historic figures. And in this case, I'm not talking about the sort of semi-superheroes that I won't give any more details about, but I'm talking about the captains of industry, because the other title, obviously, that many of us know of these captains of industry is robber barons. How did you deal with the sort of moral quandaries that surrounded these men and their wealth?
Well, in most cases, to be honest, we didn't. That is, this is a fiction work, and it's not historical in the sense of getting into a listing of all the good they did and all the bad they did. That would be a historical tome that'd be much larger and probably not as much fun to read.
Or illustrate, so, you know, right, Moses?
Yeah, or illustrate. We needed them to be what they were on Jekyll Island, or what we wanted them to be on Jekyll Island, which is basically the resources to help these other good people get done what needed to get done. So they add that to the story. We don't do a lot of backstory on any of the titans of industry, if you will. They're important to the story, but they're not central to the story.
Right. It moves on quickly from them. My guests are Ed Kroll, whose voice you just heard. He's the co-author of The Jekyll Island Chronicles, a new graphic novel series. And also with us is Moses Nestor, who illustrated the graphic novel. And Moses, you actually began these illustrations as a student in SCAD. How did this project work from something you were doing from school into something you were doing as a profession?
Well, I was involved first with the project through a special program that SCAD does called the Collaborative Learning Center, where clients can come to the school with a project that they want to see made a reality, and the school will create actually a class based around that project and then invite students whose work fits the criteria for that project. So for Jekyll Island Chronicles, I was lucky to be selected with a bunch of other students to help create a pitch packet for the story for Ed and Jack and Steve to take to publishers. And over the course of that class, I got to meet these guys, became friends with them. And when the project was over, I was lucky enough to be able to continue to work on it along with Sarah Miller, the colorist for the book. We were both on the same CLC project.
Ed, did you have concern? Look, I probably would not go get my hair cut at a student. You know, you can get your hair cut by student hairstylists. So did you have any concerns when you took this project, which has obviously meant so much to you, to students?
Well, no, and I'll tell you why. There were two other co-authors on this book, Jack Lowe and Steve Nevedek, and Steve in particular had experience working with SCAD in the corporate environment and was familiar with the sort of project Moses just described. We were excited about the prospect. We knew the kind of students that SCAD produces. We knew the kind of work that SCAD students are capable of when they're interning, and what they do beyond that. And so it was just a great way for us to get from the plot that we'd created and the characters we'd created and get them into reality, if you will, on the page. It was a wonderful process working with them and all of the students, and Moses and Sarah just became our go-to people out of the project. And when we sat down and said, okay, how do we go forward with this? We took the pitch packet, a publisher jumped on it, said they want to publish the book, and we knew right away we wanted Moses and Sarah to be in the project and help finish it off.
So Moses, how much of what we're seeing in this, and the artwork is beautiful, but how much
Thanks.
Of it is Moses's personality, and how much of it is transformed by you into something that fits this time period and this style?
A lot of my personality, I guess, in the artwork comes through my inking style. I use a bunch of I do everything digitally, but I use a lot of.
Wait, what does that mean?
Instead of sitting at an actual piece of paper, drawing it on pencil, drawing it with ink, I do everything in Photoshop.
Original drawings?
Yep. Oh. I have a graphic tablet. It's called a Huion. A GT220 is the technical term for it. But it allows me to take a stylus and draw on the screen. And so I will set up a document that's the size of a regular 11x17 sheet and pencil it on the computer, ink it on the computer, But a lot of my a lot of the brushes that I use are designed to mimic traditional media, like dry brush effects, some gritty spattering and stuff like that. And that's where I put my twist on everything, is in how I render the characters.
What does rendering a character mean?
Oh, just how I ink them, I guess. I like it to look a little dirty, a little grungy, so that it kind of fits the diesel punk theme of the book.
Right, which is very much sustained throughout the whole thing. Ed, how many episodes are there in these chronicles?
Well, the arrangement is to do 6 books. So this is book one. The title of book one is A Machine Age War. And book two is underway at this time. But hopefully there'll be 6 by the time it's finished.
Is it all written?
It is not all written, but it's already in production. Moses has already started working on some of the art for us.
So, but do you know how it ends? Do you already have sort of an arc in your head?
We do. We've actually taken the arc all the way through to the end of this, and then we go back and we'll flesh it out as need be. Book one is very much an introduction to the characters and to the world that's involved here. Book two is going to get a little more in depth on the backstory of two of our characters, Peter Karavik, who is one of our main heroes, and Helen Huxley, the lead heroine of the story, if you will.
A very empowered
we're gonna find
woman.
Out more about that.
Excuse the pun.
No, very much so.
She can shoot lightning out of her hands, which I hope I'm not giving anything away by saying that.
And it's sometimes much more troublesome than people realize. It really bothers her at times.
Yeah, I would imagine that would not be easy to handle. Well, we will wait for the next 5 issues as well, but you can get the first of the Jekyll Island Chronicles now. That's Ed Kroll, co-author of the series, and also Moses Nestor joined us. He illustrates the graphic novel. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
That is our show for today, but I wonder, okay, so what historical figure would you turn into a comic book hero or heroine? Abraham Lincoln was already turned into a vampire hunter, so lop Abraham Lincoln out. But what real person could become a comic book hero? Eleanor Roosevelt? Teddy Roosevelt? Maybe a rampaging Marie Curie? Call us at 404-500-9457. We're on Twitter at OST Talk. You can also post to facebook.com/onsecondthoughtradio. I think Rasputin has already been a comic book villain in a few arcs. But you can give that as a suggestion as well. Anyway, for today, that is On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headley. Have a great day.